Omri's mother kept boxes of tissues in every room, mainly so nobody would have an excuse to sit sniffing. Patrick jumped up and took one, tearing off a tiny corner and rolling it into a wad no bigger than a pinhead. "Now it's got germs on it from your hand," said Omri. "Where's the disinfectant?" "It's in the bathroom cupboard. Don't let my mum see you." While Patrick was gone, Omri sat motionless and silent, his eyes fixed on Little Bull, still poised to pull out the arrow. After a very long minute, the Indian muttered something. Omri bent his head low. "What?"
"Little Bull. Sorry."
Omri straightened up, his heart cold and untouched. "You'll be a lot sorrier if you don't save him," was all he said. Patrick raced back with the bottle of Listerine. He poured a drop into the lid and dipped the little ball of tissue into it. Then he held the cap close to Little Bull. "Go on," Omri ordered. "Pull it out." Little Bull seemed to brace himself. Then he began to tremble.
"Little Bull not do. Little Bull not doctor. Get doctor back. He no make wound good."
"We can't," said Omri shortly. "The magic's gone. You must do it. Do it now." "Now, Little Bull." Again the Indian stiffened, closing his hand tightly around the arrow. Slowly and steadily he drew it out and threw it aside. Then, as the blood welled out over Boone's check shirt, Little Bull swiftly squeezed the liquid out of the ball of tissue and pressed it against the wound. "Use your knife now. Cut the dirty shirt away." Without hesitating, Little Bull obeyed. Boone lay still. His face under its tan had turned ashy grey. "We need a bandage," said Patrick. "There's nothing we could use, and we can't move him to wrap it around him. We'll have to use a tiny bit of sticking plaster." Again Patrick went to the bathroom. Again Omri, Little Bull and Boone were left alone. Little Bull knelt now with his hands loose on his thighs, his head down. His shoulders rose and fell once. Was he sobbing? With shame or fear? Or could it be sorrow? Patrick returned with the box of band-aid and a pair of nail scissors. He cut out a square big enough to cover the whole of Boone's chest, and Little Bull stuck it on with great care and even, Omri thought, tenderness. "Now," said Omri, "take off your chief's cloak and cover him up warmly." This too Little Bull did uncomplainingly. "We'll take him upstairs and put him to bed," said Omri. "Oh, God, I wish we had that key and I could get that doctor back." As they walked slowly upstairs, he told Patrick about the First World War soldier he'd brought to life to tend Little Bull's leg wound. "We've got to find that key," said Patrick. "We've just got to." Little Bull, still at Boone's side on Omri's hand, said nothing. In Omri's room, Patrick made a bed for the cowboy from a folded handkerchief and another woolen square cut from Omri's sweater. Omri slipped a bit of thin, stiff card between Boone and his own hand, and on this he transferred the wounded man without too much disturbance, which might have started the bleeding again. He was still unconscious. Little Bull silently stood by. Suddenly he moved. Reaching up, he snatched off his chief's headdress and threw it violently onto the ground. Before Omri could stop him, he began jumping on it, and in a second or two all the beautiful tall turkey feathers were bent and broken. Leaving it lying there, Little Bull took off across the carpet, running as hard as he could over the deep woolen tufts, stumbling sometimes, but running always in the direction of the seed box and his home. Patrick moved, but Omri said quietly, "Let him alone."